Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So what's there to say about our friend Sherry Shepherd? We love her. She's an Emmy Award-winning comedian. She's had an incredible TV career spanning two decades, and now she's hosting her own talk show, Sherry. Let's talk about how she got her start, her incredible work ethic, and what it's like now hosting her own show. Sherry Shepherd, thank you for being here. This
thank
is amazing.
You.
Having you on our radio show was just a treat and a gift. Let's go a little deeper.
Okay.
Where do
I
you
just want to turn this phone off, because no matter how much you do to turn off a phone, it still goes off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm always scared that it just will go off. So I just turned it off.
You know what, though? If it goes off, I'd be kind of interested to see who's calling Sherry Shepherd.
Well, the one thing I can always say, it's my son. So
okay.
That even though it's my girlfriend going, what you doing?
Right.
Like, that's my son.
That's my son. I got to run. Where are you from originally?
Chicago.
Yeah?
Chicago by way of Hoffman Estates, Illinois, the northwest suburb.
So, and now you're living in New York full time. Do you like being a New Yorker?
When I tell you I love New York so much, like, everybody goes, go to Jersey because you can get more for your money. And I'm like, I'm staying right in New York. I don't care what I got to do. If I got to sell Avon on the side, you know, like people think, don't be thinking, I got that Ellen $100 million talk show deal. No, sir. So, like, you got to be on a budget. So I don't care what I got to do. I'm staying in New York, in Manhattan, which is expensive as heck,
yeah.
But I'm going to do it.
But Sherry, the city is a pain in the ass. And that's what you like about it?
I love it. I love the energy. Like, if you go to L.A., and most of us are actors, we're in the Valley. It's just, like, chill and laid back, and you get in your car, you go meet up at the park to go walking. Everything is you have to get in your car. You don't mm-hmm. take, like, the bus or the train. That's if you don't have a car and you got to get there. But it's just very chill. In L.A., when we say, you know, let's get together for lunch, we're just saying goodbye. It's like, so you go to New York, and everybody's very real. Very authentic.
Too real sometimes. Or you're okay with that?
I'm okay with it.
Because you know where you stand with them.
I know where I stand. Yeah. I know where I'm getting. And I live in Harlem. And so there's always something going on. Even in Manhattan, there's always... It's so many nationalities, and we got a parade for every nationality that is in New York. I'm like, well, who is this now?
Right.
It's the Turkey. Everybody from Turkey, we having a parade. Like, it's the Puerto Rican Day Parade. It's the Haitian Day Parade. It's the LGBTQ Parade. It's the people with one leg. They got a parade. It's the people that have no... It's a parade for everything. It's a bike marathon. It's just always something going on. They got salsa dancing in Central Park over here. They got, you can learn how to waltz over here. They're doing a play. And I mean, it's, you know, it's crazy. There's a man walking around naked in Times Square. It's something going on.
I'm making notes here. Slow down. The one-legged parade. I want to be a part of that.
I'm telling you, if it's not there, it's about to come.
And by the way, if you don't live in New York City, or even if you do, weekends in Harlem is really the best time. Weekends, there's always something going on year round. Even when the weather sucks ass, Harlem is where it's at on the weekends.
Like literally, if you go to Melba's restaurant, they block off the streets in Harlem. But Melba's is a especially great because they play double dutch, they dance. I mean, it's just a party. And I walk from my place, which is about 30 blocks, and I walk and we just have a good time, have some catfish strips, and we're just, and a drink, and we're partying. Babyface was just doing his concert on a brownstone stoop.
Just for the hell of it?
Just for the hell of it.
Was it announced? He just showed up. Obviously, you heard about it.
It was announced, but everybody came with their lawn chairs. And then Mary J. Blige was there the next week. So who do you get to go see Babyface perform on somebody's stoop? Now, the person who's stupid was probably wasn't happy. Everybody's on my lawn, they're on my stoop, they're on the stairs. But it was, so I love that energy.
So I walked out of my apartment yesterday, I had to run around the corner, get some dog food, whatever. And there was a man on the stoop on Broadway.
Yeah.
Meowing at people. And I think I saw him hiss a couple of times. Like,
oh, gosh.
I'm like, you know what the fuck is going on in the city, you know?
I mean, this is it.
But I also had a woman lunge at me. It looked like a sharp object in her hand at one time.
You have to be careful.
Well, it's just like, what are you doing? And yeah. Last night in Bed-Stuy, or 2 nights ago in Bed-Stuy, there was a murder just for a random...
Oh my God, is that where you live?
No, no.
I just look for a place in Bed-Stuy. So now I'm not. You said it was a murder.
Well, no.
All right. Think I go to Cobble Hill. All right.
They murder everyone everywhere. It's not just Bed-Stuy.
Yeah, but ain't nobody said, you know, over here in Brooklyn Heights, they had a murder. Ain't nobody said that. Amy Schumer never said to me it was a murder on her block.
Okay, you're right. But my point is this.
No, I hear you.
We choose to be here. We pay the premium to be here. Yet being here, it's more costly than just cash.
Yeah, it is.
It wears you down a little bit.
It wears you down. But I have to say, I got to, you know, preface it with, I'm very blessed the way I came to New York to live. Mm-hmm. If I had to come to New York to struggle, at this age, I couldn't do it. Because New York is really a place where you learn independence. You learn to hustle. This is a place where you got to grind, New York. And so I'm very, very blessed that the both times that I lived here, I was co-hosting The View. I lived in the Trump, well, what used to be the Trump, they took those letters down in a heartbeat. So I live in a building with no name. But I used to live there. And then, you know, I bought a big house in New Jersey. And now I came here with my own show. So it's a different way that I'm coming to New York. So
my love
is a little bit different from my niece who's moving here, who's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how much apartments cost. Auntie, can I stay with you?
Well, she'll be calling you. She'll be calling in, Sherry.
That answer is no. Absolutely not.
Well, I tell you, and I've told this story before, a friend of ours who works at the show, Josh, he lived in Cleveland. Uh-huh. And he was dying to move to New York City. He said, Elvis, how much do I need to make to be comfortable in New York City? I said, Josh, billionaires are uncomfortable. See, that's the thing. We love being uncomfortable in this town. It's this self-cutting thing. I don't get it. But here we are. You know?
I don't know. I guess the being uncomfortable makes me try harder. The only thing I hate is I don't have the energy that I used to have when I was uncomfortable. That energy to go out and hit the pavement hard.
Right.
Now I'm too tired. After I make one damn TikTok, I'm like, I gotta go to sleep. So this is I'm blessed that, you know, at this age, it's like I'm seeing the benefits of my working so hard and so much struggling. I don't have to do that hustle.
You can enjoy New York now.
I ride the train because I just like riding the train, subway.
The train always gives you stories.
I'm always on the train. Yeah. But I do it because I'm trying to teach my son how to take the train and ride the train. So we keep getting lost. So I'm not teaching him nothing. But I'm not riding the train because I have to. Because I have a talk show. So, you know, they provide a driver. But I like being on the train because it keeps me fresh as far as like my mind, my creativity. So I'm very thankful that I'm here in this place doing what I do.
You can catch me on the F train today. I'll be there.
The F train?
Hey, yeah, the F train.
I do the...
Takes me downtown.
See, I take the... If I don't have my reading glasses on, that's when I get lost. I always get on the
E's look like F's, don't they?
They do. I'm usually take like the D train, and it was one time the Broadway show, I couldn't get an Uber, so I said, let me take the train. Normally when I ride the train, I don't look like Sherry Shepherd. I ride, so, but this
Who
time,
do you look like?
Yo, cousin Eartha. Okay. That's what I look like.
All right.
But I got on the train this time straight off a Broadway show. So I had this fuchsia pink puffer coat on, hair hanging down on my butt, lashes that looked like a stair steps on my eyes. And I got on the train and it was at night. And I thought the D, I thought it was the B train. And I was like, okay, I'm getting off. I don't know where I am. And that's when I looked like a tourist, because I got off and I kept walking back and forth going, where am I at?
It's a scary moment.
Yeah. And these two people came by and the girl was like, I really love your coat. And I was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. This when somebody's like, I really love your coat. I'm from Chicago. I know what that means. I'm about to take that coat.
Oh, boy.
And I'm walking, and I was like, I don't know where I'm at. And then something says, Sherry, first of all, stop walking back and forth looking at signs. And then I go, I gotta, maybe if I walk down a block, and I'm like, okay, this one you notice, there's no street lights on this block. And I go,
where were you?
I was,
Do you even know where you were?
I was lost.
But where? Where were you?
I don't know where. I just got off because I kept going. I'm not passing. Well,
so you got back on? I mean, what did you do to get out of there?
But I didn't know how. When I went downstairs, I was like, I don't see, like, going to the downtown. So I don't know if I'm in the Bronx. I'm not quite sure where. The numbers are just high
numbers.
This
isn't good.
And I'm like, I don't know. And the person I want to ask don't look like I should be asking.
Mm-hmm.
I got a pink puffer coat on from Khloe Kardashian's line, and some girl just told me she likes it. I'm not going to have this coat too long. So I was just like, oh my gosh, Sherry, what is going on?
So what did you do? You got back on the train?
Some said, bitch, if you don't call an Uber, and I went, oh, that's right.
Okay.
I can call Uber. And I'm going to call an Uber Black. Because I can't talk. I'm so traumatized.
Right. And they'll find you. They'll find you. You don't even have to know where you are. They'll find you.
Let me tell you something about an Uber Black. When you call an Uber Black, it's them doggone the regular Uber and the regular Lyft. They want to talk to you. They got a mixtape. They want you to produce a record for them. It smells like the kids and just been in the car. They done made their lunch and ate it. Like, so I was like, I need an Uber Black because I'm so traumatized. I just want to. You in an Uber Black, they don't say nothing to you. They open up the door and they don't say anything because the tip is already included with the Black. So
whoever thought we'd actually be pampering ourselves by getting Uber Black. You know, I really want to take care of myself today. I'm going to treat myself to an Uber Black.
You treat yourself to
if you're
Uber
lost
Black.
In friggin' New York, you should do that wearing your
That's
pink
one.
Cover.
Yeah, when your nerves is bad,
right?
You just go that extra and get the Uber Black.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
Hey, fam. I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, a daily podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Every weekday, we bring you conversations with the culture makers who inspire us.
Like our recent episode with Hollywood royalty Regina and Raina King. We talked about the creative power of women's relationships.
I feel like, thank God for women, like, especially when it comes to Black women, the way we lean on our mothers, our grandmothers, our sisters, our friends. We're just each other's pulse. I mean, it's molecular, you know?
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Sherry, here you are. You live in New York. You're in season two of the show.
I am.
Now, season one, did you know in your heart of hearts, this is going well? I bet you there's going to be a season two. Was there ever any, how's it work when you have seasons? Do you ever like want, did you wonder for a second?
I'm always in that state of, because that way when it happens, I'm just so pleasantly surprised. I love people who go, I already know that this show is going to be picked up. I already know that we're going to, I envy that. I wish I could be like that. For me, I'm like, please, Lord, let it be picked up because I'm having so much fun. And I love doing this. I hope they pick it up. So when we got a two-season pickup, which rarely happens.
Oh, wait, I didn't know that. You got two seasons.
We got picked up for two seasons.
So you're guaranteed a three-season show so far.
No, but that's the talk show world. Even though Fox picked it up for two seasons, Debmar Mercury anytime can go, you know what, this ain't working for us. So it doesn't mean I'm guaranteed, but it shows that Fox had faith in my show.
Right.
And the affiliates have faith in my show that they said, we want to do 2 years with you.
What's your day like? What's it like on production day? Like today?
Production day, after I take care of my son and get him off mm-hmm. to school, I come in and 7 a.m. and I immediately have to get, if there's anybody waiting, some people fly in and they get there really early. I will sit and talk to them and take pictures. That's 5-10 minutes. I'll take pictures with anybody that's out there. And then I come in, they start doing my makeup, but literally about 7:45, I got to go over Hot Topics because I need to go in the room and talk to people and kind of like I'm at a comedy club. I need to go, this is what happened to me yesterday. And I'll tell the story. And if they laugh, then I go, we're going to use that right when I come and sit on the couch. So I came in and I go, I bombed at a comedy club. I can't believe it. This is what, and they said that was funny. Then we go over all, we find hot topics that we can talk about. And I look for stuff that I can bring a lightness to and a fun attitude and spirit to, like Jimmy Butler had a different haircut, and
this latest one was pretty freaky.
Yeah, this latest one, and we went on this whole thing, and I said, "Oh my gosh, that would be funny," because I know the coaches are telling their team, "Just play on the side of his bangs; he won't be able to see you." And the jokes just started flying, and I said, "This is going to be a good day because stuff is coming to me."
Right.
And I have so it was initially me writing my own jokes, but now we have a comic named Tammy Pescatelli, who is this amazing Italian woman, ballsy, and so she will help me flesh out what I want
to
say.
It's great to have a partner, right? A collaborator.
People
do it in music. You know, they collaborate with each other all the time, and they come up with these magical things that they would not have done on their own. Having a collaborator like your Tammy.
Tammy. And it's really important because I just got Tammy last week, but before that, I had nobody. I was the only comic. So I wanted younger people to be in the room with me to tell me what are the... Because, you know, at my age, I don't look at everything. I'm not on social media all the time. I'm I need to go... You know, at this age, this is when you keep hearing people say, you got to go to sleep at 8. I go, what? Nobody nobody told me that when I was in my 20s. Because in your 20s, you don't have to go to sleep at 8. You can go to sleep at 4, party, and then go to work.
Are you going to sleep at 8? Really?
No, probably 11. Okay. I tried it 8. You know, when you lay down and you look at the ceiling. Right. And I keep going, well, they say on TikTok and social media, 8 o'clock I'm supposed to get into something called my circadian rhythm. Mm-hmm. But it ain't happening. So let me get on Instagram. But about 11. So I'm in there. So I have young people in the room with me who can give me what they're... And I go, what do you think about that as a young person? So we had a topic about a young person on TikTok wanted to know, what do old people do? What did they do before the internet? And I said to the young girls, I said, we had Encyclopedia Britannica. And they didn't laugh. They just looked at me.
They don't know what the hell that is.
And I said, pull up a picture of the Encyclopedia Britannica. And one girl goes, that looks like Game of Thrones. It was so funny to me.
But wait a minute. What did we do before the internet?
There was a salesman that came to your door and sold you Encyclopedia Britannica, and that's how you did your book reports. And here's the thing. My family couldn't afford the whole set, so we only bought one letter a month because they were paying on it. So I never did any book reports that started with a T. Anything? So we did that. And then when they got the children's edition of Encyclopedia Britannica, people thought you was rich when you got that. But my daddy worked 3 jobs, so we had the kids edition. Also, I said, so I started going through things of what we did. I said, we friggin' called people. And the young people were just like, what? And I said, your Alexis and Siri was called my Auntie Gloria. That was Alexis and Siri. It was somebody in my family who knew everything in between taking a smoke, you know, their cigarettes. They knew everything about everything. It was my Uncle Earl who sat at the barbershop. That was Alexis. And so when I saw them laughing, and then I saw the little girl, the little young one say, "That those Britannicas look like the Game of Thrones."
Right.
I go, that's a great joke. And I said it, and everybody laughed. And so that's how I cull my material.
So it keeps you young, in a way. I mean, it keeps you plugged in.
You have
in.
To hang around
young people. Because I do. At this place, I have... Everyone's younger than me. Of course, everyone's younger than me everywhere I go, probably. But no.
Yeah.
The thing that's a gift for you, Sherry, is you get to keep learning.
Yes.
But you're forced to learn, but you get to keep learning, and you don't feel like you're just old and stale and living in a closet somewhere.
I think that people who don't... And this is why I understand why a lot of times older men will get with younger women as opposed to women my age. And I know a lot of women will get on me when I say this. But we come with older woman baggage. Things don't impress us like it would a young girl. Like, I remember a guy came to me and he had gotten a car that the remote control rolled down the windows. Mm-hmm. And the remote control started the car. And he came and he was like, Sherry, oh my God, look at this. And I go, I got a BMW in my driveway and I've got this Range Rover. That don't impress me. But a young girl would be like, oh my God, that's so amazing. Let's take a drive down the beach. Wow, this is your house? I expect you know, and so it brings, I think younger people bring a freshness and an energy. Like if you get with me and you want to take me out, about 11 o'clock, I'm getting sleepy. We're not going to another place because I'm tired. When I go to a club, the first two things I look for is a seat and the bathroom. And I'm sitting in, and if it's crowded, I'm not getting up for nothing because I'm not losing my seat. Now, you got a younger girl who's like, let's dance. Let's do this. It's an energy. That's why you see these old guys and you're like, how many days you going to party and freaking with this young girl? But here's the thing, you don't get some good conversation. But, you know, you're not going to be able to sit there and go, oh my gosh, when I was with so-and-so, because they're going to look at you and go, who's that? It's a trade-off.
It's exciting for these old guys. They get to hang
it's
out
exciting.
And do things they can't do with the old lady.
That they've never done. You know, they can ride a motorcycle. Let my man tell me he got a motorcycle. I'm going to be like, if you don't stop acting dumb and get off that motorcycle and get that leaf blower and blow them leaves, get off that damn motorcycle before you hurt your back.
Do you miss it, though? Do you miss going to the clubs as a young girl? Do you miss those days at all, honestly?
I wish I had the energy. Like, I go to a club. I can go to a club and dance, like, once every 6 months, and it's fun. But if I had to go to a club now, Elvis, I'm like, why is the music so damn loud?
No. See, if it's too loud, you're too old.
Yes, I'm too old. Or when you go to restaurants, you're like, can y'all turn on the lights? Like, I'm not trying to make a baby. Why are the lights? I can't read the bill. I sound like my auntie or my mother. And I go, and the kids just laugh at me. Whenever they have a birthday party or whenever they get together, I go. You know, and I'm like, auntie, I sit right in the corner. I don't move. And they all come over to me. Come on, auntie Sherry, Miss Sherry, let's dance. And I'm like, I'm fine. Because I've been in heels all day. My feet hurt. But I like to be around them. Because it does give you, like, some vitality.
So, look, I'm sure every 2 weeks, the agent gets your paycheck. They put it in your bank account. Everything's all cool.
The IRS gets my paycheck. Well,
the IRS gets my paycheck. Other than a great job, people taking care of you, working with people you love, what do you get out of this? What are you getting out of this just for you?
From the time I was 4, I love making people laugh. Like, I loved seeing my mother smile, and I loved seeing my grandmother smile. I've always liked people to feel better. And I've always used to dream of having my own talk show when I used to watch them when I was little. And even doing stand-up, I saw Andrew Dice Clay and Eddie Griffin. That's what made me want to get into stand-up. They were on stage, and I saw everybody moving as one when they laughed just because of what Andrew and Eddie were talking about. And I said, I want to do that. I want to make people laugh and feel better. Because I was going through so much. I had a sister who was on drugs. My mother was in the hospital. She died from complications of diabetes. So I was taking care of her, trying to take care of nieces and nephews. I had a lot on me. And laughter, it made me feel good being on stage. So I said, wow, it's got to make other people feel better. And I just, it's a high for me to make people feel better. So when I have people coming to my show, I have people coming, this is crazy. They'll have, like, somebody will say, when I go to the doctor, I watch you when I'm getting my blood transfusions or when I'm getting dialysis. There's some people who go, you inspire me, auntie, because I'm in college. When I'm feeling like down, I look at you. That makes me keep going. That shows me that my purpose is very clear. I am to make you feel better than when you came.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
Hey, fam. I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, a daily podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Every weekday, we bring you conversations with the culture makers who inspire us.
Like our recent episode with Hollywood royalty Regina and Raina King. We talked about the creative power of women's relationships.
I feel like, thank God for women, like, especially when it comes to Black women, the way we lean on our mothers, our grandmothers, our sisters, our friends. We're just each other's pulse. I mean, it's molecular, you know?
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have so much going on in the world. People need laughter. I'm not talking about, I am very well versed in politics. I love talking politics, but I will not do it on my show. Because I am there, I want you to feel good. You can get politics from anybody, yeah. Whatever side you're on.
That's our policy here too. We don't do it.
I'm not going to do it because everybody can do it. What I am here for is to make you feel better.
But you know what? You're doing something else, Sherry. I'm interrupting, yeah. But I look at the time. I want to get to some points. Here's the thing: you do make people laugh. You do make people feel good. That's accomplished. Done deal. But something else you do, and I kind of hit on this on our show, is you also make people want to make people laugh. You make people want to leave the room better that they found it in. It's an inspiration. I mean, you do it just by walking in. Your nice new boobs, your beautiful orange yeah. dress, and your skirt and everything, your beautiful shoes, your smile. When you leave the studio today, we all feel much better.
Oh,
but yeah. You're teaching us that it's important for us to do that too.
Yeah.
And what I see you talk about when you first hop on, the show starts, and you talk about you. You talk about guests, you talk about people in the news and hot topics. I get that. But when you talk about you and the things that turn you on, things that make you feel good, it makes us want to do the same things. Oh, never forget that. It's a gift.
Thank you.
I mean,
for
it truly is. I mean, I'm not here to, like, you know,
thank you.
Butter your biscuit.
No, and I know you're not.
I really mean that, though.
But I think that's also in finding out and knowing who you are. Like, I think that I just know that if I have a problem and I'm going through it, there's probably somebody in the audience that is going through the same thing. When I say, you know, my son is 18, so but when I talk about the fact that I'm just trying to navigate life with this son who's a teenager who doesn't even want to talk to me, there's somebody out there who's going through the same thing and they're feeling inadequate as a parent. But if they can look at me and go, Sherry's going through the same thing. When I'm very honest, I think that people feel like they can relate to me. And I like that. I know, you know, I'm a celebrity and Sherry knows a lot of people and she's probably making some money. You know, I don't like to say how much because I got two ex-husbands I'm paying.
Okay.
But still, I want you to feel like that I am dealing with the same thing that you are dealing with. So I like to tell people, and I think those stories make people feel like, okay, I'm not crazy over here. And it's going to be okay. If I can get through it with a smile, there's something I want people to know that if you can find the silver lining just a little bit, that'll take you far.
Also, you know, you show such courage. This is not just you, but all of us. You're showing courage when you show vulnerability, right? And I know I love getting on the air. I love talking to people. I love asking how their day is and making them laugh, whatever. And then a friend of mine once said, Elvis, are you doing this because you're trying to, like, heal yourself from something as a child? I said, I don't know. Do we really have to get that fucking...
I know.
You know, sure, maybe. You know, I was a loner kid. I always wanted to make people laugh because I wanted the attention because I didn't really have a lot of friends, this and that. Do you ever find that sometimes when you are leaving the room better than you found it, you're also kind of healing a Sherry thing from back in the day? You don't have to be specific.
You know what? No, I don't go through that because I feel like, if anything, sometimes it's harder to be more vulnerable because... you know, because you feel like you inspire so many people. I inspire people to be healthy, to take this journey. So sometimes it's harder to go, I fell. And I now am hiding Hershey's Kisses in my shoes and in my dressing room. And because I feel like I'm letting people down because they're so inspired to go to the gym. And this is hard for me to now share. Sometimes it's the pressure is on now that if I post something, tabloids will pick it up, because now I'm on a talk show. It's a different level now that I can't just be vulnerable and do a live and go, oh my gosh, I just feel like I don't feel good today. Because I know it will be on blogs and it will be on a TMZ, you know, if it's a slow news day. And now it's bigger than what it was, you know. And so you lose a little bit of that. So I can't work out healing on TV. Mm-hmm. I will tell what happened to me and how I dealt with it, but I don't. And every once in a while I'll go, oh my gosh, I had to get this chocolate chip cookie. But it's harder for me. When I used to do Ellen, I held the record for being the most booked guest on Ellen.
Wow.
Because she loved my, when I was transparent, I would talk about celebrities. I didn't care. And Ellen loved it. And I remember she said, you can get away with that. People think I'm too nice. I can't say what you say. But I had nothing to lose, so I could say whatever. Now I understand what Ellen meant, because, you know, now there's some things I can't say. The backlash, I've experienced it on The View. I have to be careful. I have to censor myself a little bit, because now having a talk show and you go into people's homes every day, you say things and it offends somebody. You gotta, you know, and when you have the brand of being nice, some things I can be very snarky. I'm sassy, but some things I go, they're not going to be able to hear me say that because I'm nice. So it's a little bit harder now than when I was just a struggling comic, because I could care less. But now I have a child, I have bills to pay, I got ex-husbands, I got parents I'm taking care of. You have too much to lose. So I'm not as risky as I used to be.
Right.
But I still within this, I don't talk about relationships. You know, I have learned that I keep that part of my life private. So I just flirt with everybody. But, you know, I don't talk, I've learned my relationships, I need something that's private that is mine.
So you're not going to start digging into a guest's relationships because you were sensitive to that kind of
thing? I am, because I've been on the other end where I've been on talk shows and all of a sudden I go, I don't want to talk about this.
Right.
And then they grab my hand and they go, we have to talk about this. And I'm like, I just got ambushed. That's not right. And no. I know there's a certain sector of people, they want to hear that, but not the people who watch me, because they know they're not going to get it with me. And I'm in this world. Yes, I'm relatable, but I've been in this business for a long time. So I know what that's like when somebody comes on the show and they don't want to talk about it. And I always tell people, we're going to have fun. Like, whatever you want to talk about. And people who like me will like our conversation. I don't do salacious. I don't want to make people feel bad. I used to watch people talk about me when I was going through a divorce, and it hurt, because I go, you really don't know their whole situation.
It's a divorce. Why is this your topic when it's my divorce? I get that.
Yeah, but
we're
you know,
same way with this show here. I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. Every once in a while when you're booking guests, they'll say, hey, can't wait to be on your show, but here's like three things we really don't want to talk about. These, I'm like, fuck you. We're not going to talk about those anyway.
Right.
I would never, because I want people to want to come back.
You want people to come back. You want to make it a place where it's like, I tell you, when I started this show, we had to have parties with publicists.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to let them know, I want your people to have a good time. I want people to leave going, I want to come back to the show. Because if you're having a good time, the audience is going to have a good time. And people who want to come and see the salacious, you got all kinds of, you can go.
They have other places to go for that.
And you can go and get that. And
right.
So I feel like if you have fun, you'll want to come back and have fun with me. And that's how my show's going to, and the day people don't want that anymore, I'm going to go do something else.
Well, no time soon. Sherry Shepherd, love having you here, as always.
Thank you for having me.
And when you walked out of that room today, you did change that room, because everyone was like, God, I love her. Andrew was there.
Oh, man.
Daniel's like, I love her. I just fucking love her. Bronx chick, I fucking love her.
Oh, man.
And then Gandhi, love her. I mean, you are love. So
thank you. I appreciate it.
Keep sprinkling that magic
dust.
And
I thank you for y'all, because y'all are so wonderful. And it's like, you get excited when they said you're going to Elvis's show. I was so excited, because it's just fun. I know I'm not going to sit here and somebody's going to hit me with something where I get uncomfortable and I got to pivot.
No.
It's just as fun coming.
No, we won't do that. Sherry Shepherd, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So many things to live by in this episode. Sherry, we love you. One of our favorite points Sherry made, by the way, was that laughter really is the best medicine, no doubt. To know Sherry Shepherd is to love Sherry Shepherd, and we're so proud of her and all the success of her talk show, Sherry, which you can watch every weekday. Just check your local listings. Make sure you like, review, and subscribe to Thinking Out Loud wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, peace out. Thinking Out Loud is hosted by me, Elvis Duran, and executive produced by Andrew Pugliese and Josh Kolodny, who edits as well. Special thanks to David Katz and Michael Kindheart. Thinking Out Loud is part of the Elvis Duran Podcast Network on iHeartRadio. That sounds hot. For more, rate, review, and subscribe to this show. If you like this episode, make sure you tell us and tell your friends.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.